The Prime Minister will announce today that Australia will spend $12.4 billion on 58 Joint Strike Fighters, making the fifth-generation jet the biggest military purchase the country has ever made. The decision will have ramifications elsewhere, with Canada and Denmark still wavering over whether they'll also buy the jet. Cost and uncertainty over the jet's performance have been the biggest stumbling blocks. And some analysts are warning Australia to read the fine print in the contract to avoid price shocks in the years ahead. From Washington, North America correspondent Lisa Miller reports.
The Joint Strike Fighter has had a long and difficult birth, but Australia's decision to go ahead with the purchase of another 58 F-35s will please Lockheed Martin, the company that's overseen a program dogged by cost overruns and delays. It's called Joint because it involves half a dozen countries who've sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into the development of the jet. But at least two of those countries, Canada and Denmark, are debating whether to even buy it for their own military.
It was put in the doubt last year when the government was forced through political backlash and a damning Auditor General's report that said that the money that they'd budgeted for was nowhere near the amount they're going to need.
Scott Taylor is the editor-in-chief of Canadian military magazine Esprit de Corps.
Well, the jets and the in-life service support costs, are going to be astronomical, according to what the Auditor General found, compared to what they were budgeting for. And, of course, Lockheed Martin is still saying, look, until we know the numbers, we can't determine the exact unit price, which I think is every partner in the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program is looking at that very, very cautiously.
So what will Australia's decision mean to these other partners who, you say, are looking at everyone else to see what decisions are being made?
Well, obviously, in theory, if every time someone backs out, it puts the price per unit up. If someone buys in at a fairly sizable level, like 58 aircraft, then that's going to make it that much more affordable, one would think. And any time there's been any other nation that's announced, like Japan, that they're buying them, they've held that up as proof that the project is moving forward and it's going to be successful.
Joe Katzman is the founding editor of Defence Industry Daily in the US. While he agrees progress is now being made, he warns that cost is still a serious issue, especially since the US is likely to keep cutting back the number of planes it buys because of budget constraints.
If you look at the Pentagon's documents, all right, the flyaway cost for an Air Force F-35 in fiscal year 2015 is $133 million. All right? They are hoping that that will eventually start reducing into the high 90s millions of dollars. But to do that, they need to get the production rate up to a certain level. That means enough exports. That means enough domestic orders. But domestic orders are cutting. And the export countries, even the close partners, are buying fewer than expected because of what they can afford.
So does Australia know what it will end up paying for the planes?
That's going to depend entirely on the wording of the contract. Does that contract place the responsibility for necessary changes to the fighter on the manufacturer or the government? And I say this because the F-35 hasn't finished testing. They're continuing to discover cracks. They're continuing to discover areas they need to fix. And if those costs are on the Australian government, then even a fixed price contract doesn't tell you what you will pay for the planes because, of course, they're not fully done until you fixed them.
Joe Katzman is adamant the problems for the F-35 are not behind it. The biggest obstacle remains software development for what will eventually be the most advanced fighter jet in the skies. This is Lisa Miller in Washington for AM.